today's shir is Masechta Bechayrus Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav on the base, 9 lines from the bottom. Im Amalai Akoyim B'Teich Hazman. We had learned in the Mishnah that the Yisrael, who had Bezman Hazeh, as Rashi said nowadays, that we don't have the ability to bring the Bechor as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Koyim, and therefore the Mishnah said that Yisrael has to hold on to the Bechor by Behem Medaka, we went either 30 days or 3 months, by Behem Megasa 50 days. And the Mishnah taught us that if the Kohen approaches the Yisrael during that time and says to him, Tenei, give me the Bechor, Hareza lo yitnam, so the Mishnah says it should not be given to him. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why should it not be given to the Kohen when he asks for it, that he'll take it already now? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Neshenira k'Kohen HaMessiah Beis HaGronis. By doing so, it looks like the Kohen is working for his Matnas Kuna. He'll take care of the Bechor, and for that he'll get the Bechor. And there's a halacha that, as we will learn extensively in today's shir, that the Kohen is not supposed to receive Matnas Kuna instead of work that he does, but as the Meiri explains, the Kohen receives the Matnas Kuhuna because he's a Kohen, because he does the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, not because he worked for that, he works for those Matnas Kuhuna. The Achronim ask, why does the Gemara use the words of Nation Nira? Kikohen HaMessiah Beis HaGronis, it appears like the Kohen is helping. Shouldn't the Mishnah have used the words of Nei, shouldn't the Gemara have used the words of Nei, Shem Messiah Beis HaGronis, that he's actually working in the Beis HaGronis? So the Chayinim gives 2 tarots. One tarot actually speaks to a very interesting question. And that is, let's say someone's husband leaves town and leaves his wife with no means of support. And someone goes and supports that family. Or a similar situation where somebody has a debt and someone else comes and pays off his debt without him asking the payer to do so. Can the person who pays for this debt, can the person who supported the family without being asked to do so, go back and ask for payment? It's a machlokes hapoiskim, but there are many that hold that they cannot ask for payment. And if the halacha is indeed that he cannot ask for payment, our Gemara is a similar situation, where although the Kohen did volunteer to take care of this Bechor, that doesn't mean he has a right to get paid for it, and since he doesn't have a right to demand payment for it, therefore it's not actual that he's working for it, it's only nearer, it only appears as if he's working for the Matnas Kuhuna. The issue with this pshat is, as I mentioned, this is not a clear halacha that if someone pays an obligation on behalf of someone else, he can't go back and ask for repayment. So according to the paiskim that hold that he can't ask for repayment, we've given a good explanation for our Gemara. But according to the opinions that he can ask for repayment, how do we understand our Gemara? So I saw 2 different explanations. Some say that since here we're speaking about Hegdish, by Hegdish everyone will agree that he has no right to ask for repayment, and therefore it's only Nira. Or another explanation that I saw is that since there are so many people that would be willing to take care of the Bechor and maybe afterwards receive the Bechor because of that, it's not obvious that he's doing it for payment, and that's why the Gemara uses the wording Nation Nira. He's not actually a Kohen HaMessiah Beis HaGronis. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us HaKohanim V'Leviim V'Aniim HaMessiah Beis HaRoyim U'Beis HaGronis, that participate in helping, whether with the animals or with the Tevuah, U'Beis HaBat Chayim or with the meat. The Halach is Ein Lois Lam Truma U'Mais B'Scharim. They are not allowed to receive payment for, they're not allowed to receive the Truma Meiser, because again, we have a situation of Kainam Messiah Beis Agronis. The Farshim discuss that the Braisa begins about speaking Kohanim, Levim, and Aniyim. But then the Braisa only speaks about Truma and Maisa. So how do we understand that? Why the Braisa only focuses on Truma and Maisa? Rabbeinu Gershom actually learns that this is going to be a question that the Gemara is going to pose in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Other Rishonim, however, explain that the reason the Braisa focuses on Truma and Maisa is either because Truma and Maisa is something that applies by Kohanim, Levim, and Aniyim, by Truma and Maisa there's a concept of Tevel which carries with it a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore although the Halacha that we're learning now is not limited to Truma and Maisa, the Braisa focuses on the Truma and Maisa. Although I did see that the Rishonim debate if this halacha also applies by Maaser Ani. There are Rishonim that suggest that by Maaser Ani, everybody agrees there is no issue of Kohen HaMasai Beis Agronis, that if the Ani participates in helping and he gets it, that's not called Masai Beis Agronis. Other Rishonim say that it applies by Maaser Ani as well. Furthermore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if the person who's helping is not helping with the intention in order to get the maisa, the truma, he's just being helpful, and because of that, the Yisrael gives him the truma maisa, that is not considered Kohen HaMasayim Beis Agronis. And I saw, interestingly, that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein paskins that the entire issue of Kohen HaMasayim the Beis Agronis, he says, is only if you're actually working with the tefuah or the behema that you want to get as truma, meiser, or matnas kuhuna. But let's say, he explains, that a kohen did a favor for Yisrael, and because the kohen did the Yisrael a favor, the Yisrael now feels obligated to give that kohen the truma, meiser. That, he says, will not be in the category of kohen hamsayin the Beis Hagronis. The Moshe came, and if somebody does indeed do this, Ale Chiloi. Machloikus Rishonim, what the Taicha Chiloi is. Some say he has caused the terrible Chil Hashem. Other Rishonim say Chiloi means that he has profaned this Truma Meiser. They lose the Kedusha. Vale Makos Voimish Chatem Bris Halevi. You've corrupted the Bris Halevi. This is a Rai that doesn't apply by Meiser Oni. Because Meiser Oni has nothing to do with Kuhuna or Leviyah. Voimir, the Pasuk also says, quotes the Braisa, "Let's catch the Yisrael with the Chalul Vayis the Mosul." Ask the Marmai Va'omer, why must the Braisa quote another pasuk? V'chi Tema says the Gemara, the reason the Braisa quoted another pasuk is because we would think Misaloi that if you did this aveir of Kohen Masayim Beis Agronis, it's not such a terrible aveir that there should be a chiv Misa. Toshma, that's why the Braisa quotes the pasuk, "Let's catch the Yisrael with the Chalul Vayis the Mosul," that there's a chiv Misa. Tosus points out that when the Braisa says there's a Chiyav Misa, it doesn't mean an actual Chiyav Misa, it just means that it's a very serious Aveira. Continues the Braisa, Obitshah Chom L'Kansom. Chazal originally wanted to say that if somebody did this, if somebody was a Kohen HaMasayim Beis Agronis, he should be penalized to have to give Truma again. Olias Mafishlam Truma Mishlehem, to have to give Truma a second time. However, why was this not done? Which means, actually the Chiyav Truma has been fulfilled with the Truma that was given the first time when he was helping, although he shouldn't have done so. The person will not realize that that is the case, and he'll think that the second Truma that Chazal is obligated to give is the real Truma, when it's really not the real truma, it's only a knas, and he may use that truma to be truma for something that has a chiyav truma. In order to avoid such a mistake, Chazal said that we don't make the punishment that they should give truma a second time. So Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rishonim ask, if there's such a concern that you may end up giving a Torah al-Chiyav, why does the Gemara only speak about it In this case, why doesn't the Gemara, every time it says a knas of giving truma a second time, not be concerned that you may end up giving him a Torah al-Khiv? So some explain that since this was the most common problem by truma, that the Kohanim worked to get their truma, that's why here, since it was so common, Chazal felt the need, had this concern more than other situations. But then Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos explains that what's going to happen here, the Kohen who gave truma or received the truma the first time, people will think that that truma was really not a truma. That truma is really just payment to the Kohen for his helping the Yisrael. And therefore, they're going to think that the second truma is the real truma, when really that isn't the case. So that's why specifically in this situation that Chazal have this concern. I saw a very nice fart. We know, Rashi quotes it, that one of the ways Esav was able to deceive Yitzchak was that he asked Yitzchak, Ketzad ma'asim es ha-melech? How do we take off ma'asim from Saul? And that's why Yitzchak thought that Esav was a tzaddik. The first one will ask, didn't Yitzchak realize that this is not real? Everybody knows you don't take ma'asim from Saul. And furthermore, what is the wording Ketzad ma'asim es ha-melech? How is ma'asim taken off? He should have said, Im ma'asim es ha-melech, do we take off Meiser from Saul? So the Farshim explained that this exactly was what Esav meant. Esav, of course, knew, and he wasn't going to try to fool Yitzchak into believing that anybody would assume that Meiser should be taken from Saul. But what Esav said to Yitzchak was, I am very religious, and even though there is no chiv to take Meiser from Saul, I take Meiser from Saul. But just like we learned in our Gemara, when you take Maisa from something that you're not obligated to take, you always stand the risk of Menaptor Alachiv. And that's why Esav asked Yitzchak, Ketzad Ma'asim Es HaMelech, how could I take off Maisa in a situation when I'm not obligated to take Maisa and not have the problem of making people take Menaptor Alachiv? Continues the Braisa, Ulekula. When we speak about Matnas Aniyim, Yesh Lam Toivus HaNol Abalim. There is a Toivus HaNol Abalim. Which means, Ketzat explains the Bible, so what does that mean? Yisrael Shefrish Truma Mekiriyot. If Yisrael takes off Truma from his produce, Hamatzi Yisrael Acher, and he meets another Yisrael, Vamloi, Holochas Selazer, and the Yisrael off, and the Kayin, and this Yisrael off of the other Yisrael, money, because he requests of him, Tanel ben Biti Kayin, please give your truma to my grandson who's a Kayin, Dawachi is mutter. He may do so. However, am I a Kayin with Kayin? If it's one Kayin that's asking for another Kayin, then Dawachi is its Asr. Why is it Asr? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat the Rishonim say is, since this Kohen potentially could have received the Truma himself, yes, he's not asking for himself, he's asking for a different Kohen, but since he potentially could have asked for the Truma himself, so that already is enough that it should be considered Kohen HaMessiah, the Beis HaGronos. Another pshat that I saw is that we're concerned that these two Kohanim have a deal going, where I am one Kohen always approaching the Yisrael, asking him to give the Truma to another Kohen, and then by the next Yisrael, we reverse roles. And because of that, Chazal said that it's Asr. Ask the Gemara, V'tana Maitama Lekama Matnas Kuna. Why does the Braisa, when it speaks about Toivus Hanah, only speak about Truma, and not speak about the other Matnas Kuna? So the Rishonim explained this question. Rabbeinu Gershom, as we said earlier, explains that the question is going back to the first part of the Braisa. When the first part of the Braisa, the Gemara spoke about Kohen HaMessiah Beis HaGronos, only spoke about Truma and Meiser, the Gemara is asking, why is it, does the Braisa only speak about Truma and Meiser? However, there's another girsa that the Shita quotes, that the Shita says that the Gemara here actually had a different girsa. Where the Gemara had a girsa that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Ubekulan yesh ben matnas kuna, Tavis Hanah, by all matnas kuna, there's Tavis Hanah. And he says there's only Tavis Hanah. The Tanakhama obviously holds there's only Tavis Hanah by Truma. And now the Gemara is trying to understand why is this only by Truma and nothing else. Amalach, to which the Tana responds, Truma, the Kedushas of Guf. We know there are two types of true Kedusha. There's Kedushas of Guf, something that has inherent Kedusha, and there's Kedushas Domin. So says the Gemara, Truma, the Kedushas of Guf, Truma that has Kedushas of Guf, so the Kiv and the Lay Mischel, even when the Truma is given to the Kayin, it stays in the Madrega of Kedusha. So therefore, like Asla Mitaba, nobody will make a mistake that because payment was given, that somebody should receive the Truma, that the Truma is no longer Kodesh. Hani, however, when we speak about all other Matnas Kuna, as we discussed the Masechta Chulin, Zroya, L'chaim, V'keva, all the other Matnas Kuna, there, keeping the Kedusha Staminu, they have this lower level of Kedusha, they only have a Kedusha Stamin. Also, Mitabahan, somebody may come to make the error and think, Sava, Mesla Kedushaya Abazuzi, somebody was paid to give the Matnas Kuna to specific Kayin. And that payment takes away from that Kedusha, and therefore, Vasa Lenin by Minid Chulit, and they won't be treated with the proper covet, as we've discussed numerous times. The Torah says regarding all Matnas Kuna Lamashcha, Kederach Shemalachim Eichlim, that has to be treated with a very high level of respect. Or, as other Rishonim explain, the concern is that he may end up feeding these Matnas Kuhuna to his animals, which the halacha is that it's Aser. And because somebody could come to make this mistake, there is no rule of Tavis Hanah by Matnas Kuhuna other than by Truma. Interesting shaila that I saw that the Paiskim discuss is, let's say there's a Kayin, there's a child born to Yisrael, the subject of Am Sechta, and he's obligated in the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, and a Kohen approaches that Yisrael and asks him that, let me be the Kohen for the Pidyon HaBen and I'll give you a few dollars that I should be the Kohen. So the Mefarshim, the Paiskim say that that is Osur. Why? Because they explain that the Torah specifically wants that the Kohen should receive a full Chamei Shlon, a full five Shlon. And if he's going to pay something towards that, then he's not receiving a full Chamei Shlon. And therefore, because of that, the Kohen shouldn't do it. According to this understanding, then it's only the Kohen himself that has that problem of not paying to be the Kohen at a Pinyon HaBen. But if someone else wants to pay on behalf of the other Kohen, then perhaps the halach would be that it's mutter. Amar Rava, Trumas Chutz La'aretz. When we speak about Trumas Chutz La'aretz, and as the Rishonim point out, when we speak about the Chiv of Trumas Chutz La'aretz, it only means in the countries that are near Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, the Paiskim point out, the Rishonim point out that the Chiv of Trumas in these countries that are near Eretz Yisrael are only on Dogen, Tirosh, V'Yitzer, the three produce that have a Chiv Truma Midaraisa. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, Truma is Chutz La'aretz, Eimem Shema Kaidam Sa'i Beis Agronis. There is no issue of Kaidam Sa'i Beis Agronis, and the Kayin you could give Truma to the Kayin who worked in the Beis Agronis. However, the Rishonim point out, the Rambam seems to learn this way, that when it says here that there is no problem of Kohen Messiah Beis Agronis, it means that you are allowed to give the Truma to a Kohen that works for you. But the Kohen still may not work on behalf of the Truma. And says the Gemara, Rav Chama Yovle L'Shamei. Rav Chama had an assistant who was a Kohen, and he would give him Truma. And it's a very big machlokes in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Many Rishonim explain that he gave his shamus, he gave his assistant truma as payment for his work. And by following such an understanding, we can answer another question as well. Because the halacha, the Pesukim asked, is that the one may not have a kohen work on his behalf. So how could Rav Chama had a kohen working on his behalf? But the Pesukim explained that if the kohen is receiving payment for working on my behalf, that is fine. So that's exactly what happened here. Rav Chama had an assistant who was a kohen that worked for him, and he was allowed to work for him because he was getting paid to work for him. And what was the payment that he gave him? Trumas chutz laretz. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they explain that certainly, even if you have a shamus, that you're not allowed to give him truma as payment. You could give him, so here he didn't give it to him as payment, he gave it to him as, because he helped him. The question is, if he wasn't receiving a salary, how was he allowed to have a kohen who would help him? To that the answer is that a Talmud Chacham, a kohen may work for Talmud Chacham. And since Rav Chama was a Talmud Chacham, that's why he worked for him. And Rav Chama, they gave him truma, and there was no issue of kohen ha-messiah beis ha-goros. Amar Shmuel, continuing to Gemara, truma chutz laretz, betel v'roiv. We know the halacha is that truma, in order for it to become batel, normally the shear is a ratio of 100 to 1. But when we speak about truma's chutz laretz, says the Gemara, it's the tailor beroyv, it's enough aroyv. Machlokes in the Rishonim. What? First of all, the Meiri tells us when we say that roiv is enough, that's only when it's min beninoy. When it's min b'she'enoi minoi, there everybody will agree that you need to have shishim. The Rishonim also debate, when we speak about roiv here, what does roiv mean? Does roiv mean as long as you have more chulin than truma? Or do you need to have at least a ratio of 2 to 1? And then there's a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, when the Gemara here says that it's b'teil b'roiv, what does it mean? Rashi says, that's bottle beroiv, and therefore, even though, of course, as we know, the halacha is a zor, a Yisrael may not eat truma, here it's bottle beroiv, and Yisrael can partake of this mixture. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that the halacha is regarding the issue that a kohen, when he's tamei, may not eat truma. Here, the halacha is that if the truma became bottle beroiv, the halacha is that the kohen may eat of it. Of course, there's an interesting question. The Shagas Arya asks a question. He says, if the entire issue here is, as Taisa says, that the concern is that the kohen, when he's tamei, should be allowed to eat it, why should we be lenient in allowing the kohen to eat it? Don't we have a rule that a davar sheyesh lo matirim, something that ultimately will become mutter, is never bottle? That's why we know the first Gemara Masechta Beya that the halacha is Beya Shanol the Yontif. A Beya that's born on Yontif is Muksa. But if you get mixed up with other eggs, we may not eat any of the eggs because we could always wait till after Yontif to eat them without a question. So here too, ask the Shagas Arya, if we're speaking about a Kohen who's Tameh, why should the Kohen eat it? Let's wait till he becomes Tahor and then he'll be allowed to eat it. So some explain that is included in answering this is what Shagas Ari answers, that when Chazal, as we're learning in our Gemara, were lenient with Trumas Chutz Laretz, including in that leniency is that it a Kayan Tameh can eat of it and it's bottle beroiv and he doesn't have to wait until he becomes Tahar. The Yeshuas Yankov says a different, very nice teretz. He says, when do we apply the concept of Dover Sheesh Lematirim doesn't become bottle? He says that's when we're speaking about the actual item. The example we gave. The Bayer that was born on Yontif, so that Bayer is Mutsa, but it's going to become Mutter after Yontif. That's why it's considered a Dover Sheesh Lematirim. However, here we're not speaking about the Truma. We're speaking about the Kayin. The Kayin is not considered a Dover Sheesh Lematirim. Says the Gemara Rava. Pais says that the Girsa and the Gemara of Rav is very specific. not Rava, because he says Rava was a Kohen, not Rava. There are other Gersos that have that Rava was also a Kohen. Mevatl Baroiv would be Mevatl the Truma Baroiv. Very big Machlokes Rishonim, where the Gemara says that he was Mevatl Baroiv doesn't mean that he was, did it L'chatchila, even though there's a Halacha a Mevatl Isl L'chatchila. They explain that two explanations. Either here it's a Drabonim and we could be more lenient on the issue of a Mevatl Isl L'chatchila, or as we said a moment ago, included in the heter of Trumas Chutz La'aretz is that Trumas, that there is no Isser of Bittel Beroiv, of there is no problem of Eim Avatun Isser L'chatchila by Trumas Chutz La'aretz. Varech L'Avet Masa, and then would eat that Truma, even though he was a Kohen, he would eat that Truma that became Bottle and Chul and when he was coming. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua, when he would get wine of Truma, Havaram would train Nakla de Chulin, he would take two barrels of Truma, the Chad of Nakla de Truma, and one of Truma, the Shokl Chad, and he would be Mevatl. And like Mikav de Eilach, once he was Mevatl Truma in the Chulin, Mikav de Eilach, afterwards, Rami Chada, he would take out one, the Shokl Chada. And as the Rishonim explained, he had to be very careful to first have a ratio of 2-1, take out one, because if he put in another thing of Truma before he took out the first one, then it wouldn't be bottle beroif. Continues the Gemara. Bamashmu, continues Shmuel, in teaching us different kulis when we speak about Trumas Chutz La'aretz. Trumas Chutz La'aretz, Oichel v'Hoylich, one could eat of it, Vachkach Mafish. Which means that we know the halacha is that you're supposed to be mafresh, then eat. Until you're mafresh, it's tevel. Trumas Chutz La'aretz, Chazal Molinim, you could eat and then leave over the end. Machlokes Rishonim, most Rishonim are of the opinion that what it means here is that you wait, that at the end you just leave over enough that you should have the amount that you need for Truma, and there won't be any afrosh at all, and that is still fine because it's Trumas Chutz La'aretz. And the Paiskim say, where this issue is even more relevant to us, is by Chalot. Because just like Trumas Chutz La'aretz, as we're learning, is only Drabonim, so too is Chalas Chutz La'aretz Drabonim. And therefore, if the issue comes up where someone baked challah and they forgot to be mafresh challah and now it's Shabbos, based on what Shmuel teaches us, what you can do is eat the entire challah and leave over at the end just a little, the amount that you would have for challah, and that is fine. And in fact, the Pais can say, with this we could understand, we know that the Mishnah, the Masech to Shabbos, teaches us, Shloshet Dvarim Tzorach Adam Lom B'Toch Beisoy Erev Shabbos M'Chashecha. That right before Shabbos, everybody in his home, says the Mishnah, is supposed to say, Isharten, did you take off Maisa? Iraftem, did you make an Erev? Hedlikus in there, make, put on the candle. Of course, the Gemara says you should be careful to say it B'Nechusa, in a calm fashion. So we in Chutz La'aretz don't say Yisartem because we don't take off Meiser. But the question is, why don't we say Nefrashtem? Why don't we say Yisartem because of the taking off Challah? We do bake Challah in Chutz La'aretz, and we have a chiv of taking off Challah from the dough that we make. So the Paiskim answer, because why is it so careful, why is it so important to say Yisartem, whether for Challah or for Maisa before Shabbos? Because as we know, as we just said, it's usur to take off Challah or Maisa on Shabbos. But if, as Shmuel is now teaching us, when we speak about Trumas Chutz La'aretz, Challah Chutz La'aretz, if you, there is a permissible way of doing it, leaving over the last drop, so therefore, Dalach is, therefore, that it's mutter. In fact, the Paiskim can go on to say, if so, that's of every Shabbos of the year. But let's say it's Shabbos Erev Pesach, and when you have Shabbos Erev Pesach, and you're eating challah, And that challah, if you're going to have the portion, and you didn't take off challah when you baked the challah, and you're going to have a little challah left over that you set, that you designate to be the challah. So now the question is, that challah you can't do anything with, because it's almost Pesach, and you have a problem by your raw, by your matzah. So if so, say the Paiskim, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, on that Friday, you should be careful to point out and ask, did you take challah from the dough that you prepared? Because otherwise you could have a real problem. Of course, the Pais can also say that typically that Shabbos is the Shabbos where people aren't making homemade challahs. They're buying challahs from the bakery, and any bakery with a good hashgacha, the hashgacha is careful also to make sure that there's hafroshes challah on all the doughs prepared in that bakery. Continue the Gemara of Amr Shmuel. Ein Trum is Chutz La'aretz Asura. Trum is Chutz La'aretz is not Asur. El B'mish Tumah Yoyetz La'Megufa. There are two types of Tumah. There's Tumah where somebody came in contact with Tumah. He came in contact with a mace. He came in contact with a sheretz. And there's Tumah that emanates from the body. Zov, Keri, Ziva, Machlaikas Rishonim. If a boil nida, if somebody had relations with a nida, is that considered Tumah Shiyoyetz Alav Negufa? So says Shmuel, Ein Trum is Chutz La'aretz Asura, El B'misha Tumah Yoyetz Alav Negufa, only a person whose Tumah comes out from his body. Says Gemara, furthermore, V'hani Mili Bachila, only a Kayin who has Tumah Yoyetz Alav Negufa may not eat Trum is Chutz La'aretz. Av Negia, less Lamba. There is no problem in touching Trum is Chutz La'aretz, even if it's Tumah Yoyetz Alav Negufa. Am Ravina, says Ravina Hilka, Nida, if a woman is a Nida, Koitz a Chala, she separates the Chala, Vaich lo Koyin Kotten. She should be careful to give it to a Koyin Kotten who never had an emission of Shichla Zera, and therefore he was never Tumah. Rashi says, a question, another Pshat, that perhaps it even applies to a Koyin who's a Gadol that already had an emission, but was careful to go to the mikveh. He was careful to go to the mikveh before he eats this challah. And as the Rishonim explained, that even though this challah is tameh, still she only a person who's not tameh should eat of this challah. This challah was touched by somebody who's tameh. The challah should not be eaten by somebody who's tameh. Be like a kohen katan, if there's no kohen katan. Shakla b'reish masa, she should put the piece of challah on put on top of a pole, on top of a stick, v'shadi b'tanura. So there's machlaikis rishonim, why should it be put on top of a stick? Some say that even though this challah has already become tameh, she already touched the stove, we want to avoid her touching it as much as possible. So don't have her touch it directly, put it on a stick. Tosfos says, that isn't Peshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says, because that's the way things were put into the fire. But, says the Gemara further, for had the matfish of challah achrita, then another portion of challah should be removed. Keiched loy tishtakech taras challah, because if all of the challah that was removed here is just going to be burnt, then we're going to have, we will end up people forgetting that challah has to be removed from dough. And then, but since this second challah that's being removed is only being removed because the chiyuv of shlatishtak teres challah, then even a kohen who's tameh may eat of it. Interesting question that I saw in the Paiskim, that here our Gemara is saying that what should be done with this challah? What should be done with this challah should be eaten by a kohen cotton. So it seems from here that one could have mitzvahs fulfilled even through Ketanim. The Sodar of Yitzhak Zilberstein in his Sefer has a discussion. We know on Erev Pesach the minig is that we make a siyum in order that the Bechayim should be able to eat. Many people make a siyum during the 9 days in order that people should be able to eat meat. And the question is, if a Katan learned the Masechta and is making a siyum, is that considered a valid siyum for Erev Pesach or for the 9 days? He seems to suggest that it should be, because the purpose of a siyum is because there was limud ha-Torah in the world. And what's the difference who learned Torah, whether it was a gadol or a katan? As long as there's learning taking place, that is a simcha,
that it should be considered a siyum. But he does quote his father, Rabbi Yashiv, who says that he's not certain that the siyum of a katan is considered a valid siyum for Erev Pesach or the 9 days. We're first going to learn the next Gemara as the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, Rav Amma, Rav Amram, Ram Bechama, the Kozba Arva. They were all traveling on a boat. Solik Rav Amram Lefnuye. Rav Amram went to the side because he had to leave himself. Asa he itse alis kamay, and there's a woman that came and asked the following question. Amru, tameis ma shiyoichel yitva v'oichel trumas chutzlaris. A person was a tameis. May they eat trumas chutzlaris right after tefillah, even though normally we know that halacha is that whenever somebody's tamei and he went to the mikvah, he still has to have herif shemesh. The question is herif shemesh required here? Amalei Rav Nachman L'Ron Dachama, V'chi Hazor Yeshlanu. Do we have Hazor? We know that a person who's tamei meis, he has to have Hazor with the paraduma, with the mixture of the paraduma ashes and water. That we don't have nowadays. There's a question in the Mefarshim how to understand the Gemara. Doesn't mean because they didn't have it in Chutz Laaretz, or doesn't mean that they didn't even have it at that time in Eretz Yisrael, but certainly they didn't have it in Chutz Laaretz. So they said, you're not going, so we don't have the full purification procedure anyway, because he doesn't have Hazor. And therefore, what's the need to wait for Herev Shemesh? Amalei Ram Bechama, Leilechesh Leisava. Shouldn't we wait for Amram to come back and hear his opinion? And says the Gemara, indeed, Ada Haki Asr of Amram. Rav Amram came back. Amluhu Tamei Meis Tayv Va'Oich B'Trumas Chutzlaretz. He may eat a Trumas Chutzlaretz immediately, and he doesn't have to wait for Herev Shemesh. Says Gemara, V'Las Hechus Kavasei. The halacha is that you have to wait for Herev Shemesh. Amr Mazurt Mishneid Rav Sheshes. Tamei Sheretz Tayv Va'Oich B'Trumas Chutzlaretz. That he could, somebody who's a Tamei Sheretz also could just have tefillah and not have to wait for Herev Shemesh, and could eat of Trumas Chutzlaretz. And again, says the Gemara V'Las Hilchot Ksavasei, that isn't the halacha. So according to Rashi, as we just finished explaining, the entire discussion that we've had now in the Gemara is regarding Herev Shemesh. But regarding Tevila, Rashi assumes that there is no question. And even though, as we just said, he can't have the full-fledged Tahara process, he still should have tefillah. And the question is, machlokes b'gemara regarding Herev Shemesh. Tosis has, however, an entire different interpretation of Gemara. And Tosis' interpretation of Gemara is that the question is not only regarding Herev Shemesh, but actually the Gemara's question is also about tefillah. Because, Tosis says, since, again, we don't have the whole Tahara procedure, because the person doesn't have Herif doesn't have Hazor, and perhaps therefore Tefillah is not required either, and it's a machlokes what should be the halacha. And the Pesach can point out that this question that we are now discussing too has relevance l'halacha l'maisa. Because of course nowadays, nowhere in the world is there any Hazor of the Paraduma, and therefore we are all considered Tamei Meisa. And the question comes up, if somebody, Rachman and Tzlon, attends a Levaya, or somebody visits a Beis HaKfaris, is there a point in him going to the mikvah, since he's not going to have Hazor of the Meit Parah, or should he go to the mikvah, because it seems from our Gemara, you should do what you can. Certainly, according to Rashi, and even according to Tosfos, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. And that's why many Pesachim are of the opinion that somebody who came in contact with a meis should go to the mikvah to remove as much tumah as he can. Similarly, the Gemara says, Chayev Odom Matar Atzmoy Beregel. A person before Yantav has to be Matar himself. And again, we certainly, unfortunately, are unable to be Matar ourselves entirely. But the question is, should one at least go to the mikvah before Yantav? Because that's something that we still can do. And many Paiskim, certainly based on Rashi's explanation of our Gemara, hold that you should at least do as much tahara as possible and go to the mikvah before yantif. The Mishnah said, "Bechor nechel shana b'shana." A bechor may be eaten year by year. And the Mishnah said that halacha applies both by a Balmum and by a animal that's not a Balmum. That means the Bechor that's born well should be eaten up within a year, and every other animal should be eaten, if it's a Balmum, it should be eaten up within a year. Says the Gemara, Midakam Noway B'Torah Shnosay. So the Mishnah said that if during its first year it developed a mum, we give it a year from that time. Lememra, which means to say, we count the year from its anniversary. That means we count the year from that point. We don't say that once Tishrei, once Rosh Hashanah comes, the year is up. Ask the Gemara, Menahani Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Answer the Gemara, the honor of Yehuda Merav, the pasuk says shana b'shana, 1 year entering in the other year. Ezu shana shnechnasas b'shana chavreta. When do we have the 1 year enters into the next year? Says the Gemara, the havaymezah shana shabachar. It talks about the bachar, and the halacha is that by bachar we go according to the anniversary from when it's born. Some say not from when it's born, from when it's 8 days old, because you can't bring a Bechor as a carbon until it's 8 days old, or from the anniversary from when it became a Balmum. Of course, as we mentioned in our previous year, but isn't there an issue for a Bechor that's not a Balmum about Acher, that you're not allowed to wait past 3 Yom Tovim to fulfill an obligation to bring a carbon? So they explained sometimes you could have that, according to some Manda Amrim, the 3 Yom Tovim have to go in a specific order, and therefore you could have a year without the 3 Yom Tovim having passed. Or some explain that sometimes you have an obligation to, you don't have an obligation to be oiler regal. Let's say the person is sick, or he doesn't own any real estate, that the halacha is he has no chiyuv to be oiler regal, and therefore he doesn't have a chiyuv about the acher, but this chiyuv of bringing the bechor within its first year remains. Another explanation, as we said in our previous year, is that the chiv about the acher was only said to the Yisrael, but it wasn't said to the Kohen who receives the Bechor, and therefore the chiv about the acher doesn't exist here, but the din that we're learning now, Shana B'Shana, would still be applicable.